This is Melissa, and today is the 7th of December, 2025. Today is Pearl Harbor Day here in the USA. And we covered Pearl Harbor in the CTTM book club when we talked about Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. And that was a deep state event. And today I'm going to give you something a little bit different than the normal redux, but I'm still going to call it a redux. It just keeps things tidy and in order. And this is a video that Graham made. And Graham is G and G, which is Graham and Gabriella. And I'm sure that Gabriella had input into this. So it's a G and G project. And Graham, that half of G and G, is also known to some as Tartan Tinker. And they're collaborating on guest posts at Substack. And he had the idea a while back to do a time capsule. And the time capsule are the talks that Alan gave between early February of 2020 until he passed in 2021. Sometimes I call this the year of the sea. I'm also going to be careful on this one with the words that I use so that I don't have to do too much editing. However, for some of you on the YT channel, I'm going to have to cut out a chunk of Graham's video. You'll gather why, because the title of it is Deep State Viruses Are Quite Normal. And this is from a talk that Alan Watt gave on February the 2nd, 2020. And there is a full poem I will include as part of the introduction for it, or you can go on the website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, to see that in the audio archive section under 2020, February 2. But the shortened title that Alan gave this was A Perfect Storm. So G&G have done quite a handful of time capsules, and I have also contributed time capsules too. And these go back really almost since the beginning of Substack in May of this year. I think that you will enjoy this clip. It's about 10 minutes, and I'm probably going to turn out to talk a little bit longer than that, but it won't be heavily illustrated because I have a full day ahead of me, lots of things that I have to do that are good. It's all good. So when Graham wanted to make videos, he got Trevor, who's over in the CTTM book club, to give him some tutorials. And then I got on a call where we could do screen share, and we had about an hour of tutorial. I'm not claiming to be a video maker, but I told him what I know about, and see, it only took an hour. And that helped him get started on the videos. So he has produced 3 last week so far. I put one on Substack a couple of days ago called Dangerous Times for Red-Blooded Minds. And that was also from February the 2nd, 2020. And there's this one. And then soon, at least on Substack, there will be something entitled You're Living Through an Agenda. And time permitting, some of these videos may go up on other channels. I would really like to do that because I think it's great to get just short clips from Alan and to be reminded on a regular basis of important things that we can think about. Because I return to Alan, listening to Alan as often as time allows, because I get an overview, the bird's eye view. I have referred to it before, and I think that's so important. One of the things that I have noticed since Operation C, the year 2020 and everything that followed, is that at a certain point, we were told it's back to normal. And to me, that's the dangerous part. That's the really dangerous part. Because we can look around and see fallout everywhere. One other thing that's upcoming that is going to start in January is a series of videos that Mike in Canada is producing. And this is also about the year of C. And he's going to take us through the year. I don't think it'll take that long because he's, you know, doing, I think each video that he's making is a month. So I think in total there might be 12 of them. And I'll post those probably as a real history short kind of thing. Mike in Canada is the first person who approached me in 2021 late and said, how about some excerpts of Alan's talks, just short clips, and I'll make them. And that's how this started off. He made audio clips, and that grew from there into some video illustrations of them. In a way, what I'm telling you is that I'm pleased beyond anything that I could express, grateful, thankful, that so many of you want to participate in finding ways to keep Alan's work out there and further the reach. So Graham said, how about a title card? You know how you make the title cards for the reduxes and the excerpts and all of that? And I said, oh, I'm so tired of my own ideas. So why don't I see if Steve, and Steve is Scottish, but he lives in the U.S., and he talked to Alan many, many, many times over the years, and I keep in touch with him. And Steve is quite, well, I'll just say clever on the computer. And I said, I'm going to go to Steve and see what he comes up with. And so Graham is working from a title card, a title graphic that Steve made. So again, I'm not going to say things like it takes a village and we're all in this together, but it is really satisfying to me to have help and to be in contact with people who understand the importance of Alan's work and want to do what they can. So there was something that came up on a comment and on a Rumble video that I put up, and I'm going to share it with you. And this is a regular listener, and I enjoy hearing from them. And my comments to them were in no way meant to shut them down. I just want to share this with you because it leads to the bigger picture of where I am in my thinking. This comment was posted on a redux that I did on November the 9th of this year. Redux number 235, If You Build It. And this was when I first mentioned to you the book project and the artists who conceived of this idea, Derek and Ula Chamberlain. And that project, it's, you know, as it nears the finish line and we're so close, there's still so much work to be done. And that's one of the reasons why other things are not getting my full attention, because that book is. So this was a talk of Alan's from January 28, 2009. And here are some of the things that he talked about. The Balfour Declaration, the Rothschilds, dispensationalism, premillennialism, the Scofield Bible, supersessionism, the New Covenant of Christianity, spiritual Israel, and Carl Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, the Anglo-American Establishment, Ronald Reagan and Jean Kirkpatrick, George W. Bush, Gog and Magog, 9/11, world religions and Bible prophecy, World War I, protests against Netanyahu, Iran, Baha'i, Armageddon, phosphorus bombs, Royal Institute of International Affairs, Chatham House, League of Nations, Mandate for Palestine, Council on Foreign Relations, Cecil Rhodes, Milner's Kindergarten, Roundtable Movement, Edward Bernays, Global Citizenship, Rockefeller, Brzezinski, Ronald Storrs, that's orientations about his time stationed in Palestine, the Milner Group. We've created an Ulster in the Middle East. That was Ronald Storrs who said that. I'm just looking at the topics list here. Young Turks, Ottoman Empire, Zionism, birth control, abortion, etc. Now, the comment that I received just yesterday is because of something that I had said in the video offhand, and Nick Fuentes is saying the truth, and the scourge of the world is, and here I will start to truncate my terminology, and the juice. And I wrote back and said, yes, he is speaking some truth. NF's status is as authorized is clear. And the people he talks to are also authorized. A question to ask is, why now is it okay for authorized people to talk about this? ADL outrage aside, cries of hate, because we're watching theater. People around me who are dead asleep to everything suddenly feel safe to talk about the obvious because Nick Fuentes and hosts like Tucker Carlson. I said in my message, I said NF and TC, but I'm going to take a risk here. Authorized, I wrote, are talking about it. Yet the same dead-to-the-agenda people who can now safely discuss the obvious are oblivious to all else, such as technocracy, transhuman, posthumanism, digital IDs. That's still off the table. Why? For years, Alan Watt talked about how the Middle East was given an ulster to cause strife. His talks and books kept pointing to history before the creation of those people. The deviant priesthood was a term he often used. This agenda is ancient. It was here before the... I actually like Sean Ross's term, the Jaywalker. He was trying to point out that there is still something above the obvious, creating all religions, using one group against another. Because our lives are so short, it's nearly impossible to think in spans of many thousands of years. But Alan could do that, and it allowed him to avoid authorized ghettos. So yes, NF is an authorized, controlled opposition speaking some truth about what should be as obvious to us as chemtrails overhead. But I like the big picture truth, and that keeps me listening to Alan. A couple minutes later, I wrote back with an addendum. This topic should always be on the table. However, for everyone, and not just the anointed steam valves. In the talk I put up this past Sunday, so that would have been the 30th of November, Alan Watt discussed this in the most discreet way possible. Keep in mind, there was never anything approaching free speech in Canada. His illustration was a child who was bullied and beaten on the playground, and who goes home and his mother asks what happened. When the child tells her, she slapped him. Alan was letting us know how it is for any of us who are not authorized. Over the years, he often said that there is nothing at all we should not be able to talk about, and that's as it should be. Just because Alan could see for miles and had studied ancient history and identified a deviant priesthood predating Phoenicians does not mean that in an ideal world he wouldn't also like to talk about the obvious and the immediate. I say that because I need to remind myself on a regular basis what is important, what's at stake here. I think that through the body of Alan's work, through his years of talks and interviews, through his books, through everything that he did, he was leaving a trail of breadcrumbs. And I like how Prince put it. He was the way shower. And he was showing a way through this. I think the biggest reason why it's good to have that bird's eye view is because it doesn't just go on and on forever. I have read to you from Alan Watts' Cutting Through books right there, page 5. This is the final phase of humanity as we know it. So I'm not someone who, like the nursery song round that's sung in rounds, row, row, row your boat. That's not me, merrily down the stream. I mean, yes, I like to laugh and experience joy and love and share that. But life is not but a dream. It's real, and there are stakes. And the thing about a nursery song sung in rounds is it goes on and on and on. It also reminds me, again, religion and the Gloria Patri that the Catholics say. In part, it says, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Now, Alan certainly has told us over the years what amen means. And get the book. It's in the book. Alan and I used to joke when we'd hear someone go on a talk show and they were obviously, you know, promoting their recent work, and they'd say, it's in the book. But it is in the book. I do not think that we have a world without end. And so that's why I want to point out a few things, obvious and otherwise, because I feel a sense of urgency. That's a good word. I like that. And I heard that in Alan's talks in 2020, and that's why I think the Time Capsule Project is so important. What we hear from Alan in those long talks, some of them approaching 6 hours, was not only his sense of being vindicated. In other words, and Alan was not one to say, I told you so, but he could see it all clearly coming to be. He could see it all clearly happening in front of him. And he knew what it meant. And he also had a sense of urgency, because for Alan, it was not as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. And part of the problem of getting into what I would call the obvious ghettos is that it keeps you in, it seems like it's a large period of history. Okay, we got a couple of thousand years we're looking at, and that's big. But what I like about Alan's perspective is he's taking us way, way back and beyond. He is really showing us what the deviant priesthood is. The deviant priesthood who created all religions. So that is it from me for now. And enjoy this Time Capsule Redux. If you haven't gone over to investigate cuttingthroughthematrix.substack.com, I encourage you to do that, because there are different things that go up there that aren't seen anywhere else. And you can also visit the website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and support what I'm doing over there. And thank you all. I am glad to be here in my window of time.
this whole idea of a deep state is very evident, because democracy is a show for the public, basically, really. And there's definitely a deep state, as they call it, behind it all, to make sure it keeps on going regardless of whoever they put into politics as a little front person at the bottom. In other words, no one is really sitting back expecting some character to get into politics that they don't want there at the top. It doesn't happen that way. I've noticed too over many, many years that the politicians, many of them, that come and go, and not too famous, some of them, some well-known, some not, end up in these quiet, very quiet and high-level international jobs with the new technocracy, running big important things across the world, deciding things for us outside of the realm of politics. And they draft up big agendas on different levels in different areas and have the government rubber stamp them. It's quite interesting to watch it. And it's outside of the newspapers generally. Or if it's mentioned at all, you're given some kind of vague organization you've never heard of before. Very important organizations. Very important. You find the same people that staff the World Health Organizations at the top, often they're CEOs of it, in fact, are far-left socialists who don't know anything about medicine at all, in fact. They're just appointed there. All the other ones, underlings, are beneath them. They're attached to it. There's nothing in this world, in our system, that isn't politicized. And when I say politicized, I mean really managed by a deep state. There's nothing. Nothing is left to chance, really. So when you see all this hype going on about this coronavirus that they haven't quite given a name, they're starting to give a name from its origin on it, but coronaviruses are quite common. It just depends on the virility of a particular strain, that's all. They're watching it now to see if it has a sudden leap forward, as you say, in mutation. That's what they're watching it for. And I don't deny that anything is impossible when it comes to it. I do not deny either, because no one is going to tell you. No one is going to tell you the truth here on where it really came from, this particular virus. You'll never get to know if it was in a lab before it escaped or whatever. You won't really get any. No one's going to take the blame for this. And the findings down the road, maybe in a few years' time, will still be probably well classified if they find, and they can find quite easily the different markers on these things, because they're all, if you go into laboratories, they're often altered. They can tell, for instance, vaccines, for instance, what kind of virus and attenuated viruses and so on are in them. They got markers. You can tell which lab created them, in fact. Any batch of vaccines. But it's very similar when they've been working on particular strains of viruses for whatever purposes. They'll know where it came from, but will never tell the public the truth. I don't know. I don't know. And there's already, as you all know, I'm sure everybody who's been following this has jumped into the same roots that you'll fall down of where it originated from. We're in a system really akin to, not as bad, I might say right now anyway, to Chernobyl, with the political structure, with the scientists in charge, all working for the same system, all given amazing authority by governments, right down to what they're going to tell the public or not tell the public, and whistleblowers will not be tolerated. Now, silence on things like this, and there's books about this too, by the way, put out again by those who want to stay in control, mentioning the fact that conspiracy always comes because of the necessity of government secrecy. So conspiracy theories abound because of government secrecy. Well, perhaps there shouldn't be so much government secrecy when it affects the people. Governments better start to remember who they're supposedly serving. Or come out and tell us quite openly or honestly that they're not serving us at all. They're dominating us. We should. Wouldn't you like clarification and some honesty? Eh? Wouldn't you like that? But right now, I've noticed even doing searches for information on what's been happening across the world with this pandemic, it's hard to get good information. A lot of the information is out there is 2 weeks old. You'll see your searches being slowed like crazy because of, again, the emergency organisations have kicked in to guard the internet. It's interesting to watch it. And the bottom, you'll see all the different institutions it's running through on the bottom of your search, you know. Yeah, of course you're being watched. Yes, you're being noted. Anyone who's looking into this, they're trying to find out immediately your location, who you are in your location. Of course, they'll try to find out why you're looking at this too. You're being studied. We're all being studied amazingly well. We have been before this all happened too, but now it's very evident as the new organisations that you haven't heard of go into, kick into gear, actually. You know, quite fascinating to watch. But they're not going to allow any lay people to give them, you know, any advice out there too. And sure, you're going to have all kinds of misinformation, disinformation, and so on. Not all put out by the ones at the bottom, by the way. Because you're not going to get much of the truth out to the public at all right now. That's the first thing. It's just, the movies always tell you the same thing, eh? And disaster movies as well. The first thing, the governments get together and they decide not to tell the public. Oh, they'll panic. They'll panic, you know. Right to the end, they don't tell them. It's quite funny to think about in some ways how predictable the systems are when it comes to those in power, you know. Always the same. Always the same. I remember years ago, back in the 90s, I gave talks on NATO and NATO's pact that they had, which used to be, supposedly, I could never find one. Somebody got one for me once that was an old one. But it was supposed to be by law in Britain, available at every post office for anybody who found out about it and then asked for it. But they wouldn't just give it to you unless you asked for it. And it was about the response for warfare purposes for radiation, meaning the bombs or whatever. That's what at that time, that's what they thought about. Or else plague. And really, the lockdown procedures by NATO, all NATO countries that signed on to it, and they still stand today, were to really lock down whole towns and cities that were infected. And anyone who tried to move out of those cities, just like the movies. I mean, the movies had a lot of basis in fact. They looked into what the plans were and so on, and they put them into their fictional movies. But yeah, they would shoot anybody on sight if they moved out. Now, I'm not terrifying anybody here. As far as we know right now, we're dealing with a form of a flu-like symptom, a virus. But don't forget who's putting out the hype here. The people in China were panicking because after the SARS outbreak in about 2003, it came out in their newspapers at the time, and you don't know who to believe naturally, but they thought it was a kind of ethno-specific type virus designed to hit them. And they had that in their newspapers. And that would surface once. That could have been propaganda on their side. Who knows?